You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is market historian Bob Hoy. He's the chief investment strategist for ChartsAndMarkets.com. He's speaking to us from Vancouver. Welcome back to the show, Bob.
Yeah, hi, Jim. Good to be with you. And I'm going to add a little editorial in here. Sunny Vancouver at this time of year is wonderful.
Yeah, it's rare enough. I have a lot of solar-powered little gadgets on my balcony, and they were all brightly lit last night. Something I haven't seen for a while.
So
I didn't have
good.
To plug in my snowflake things. Now, everybody wonders, when is the time to take down your Christmas lights? I said, when the days start being longer.
Yeah.
And the solar-powered stuff can kick in.
Well, I always have a nice straw circular wreath with red ribbon wrapped around it. Plus, I've got a red little metal model of an older alpha male. Yeah. And I think it's got some green on it. Now, I hang it on my door to the hall, and I'm always very pleased with it. And then the other day I thought, hey, this is now out of the season, so I put it away.
Yeah, so I have a little solar-powered windmill that I say Bill and Lillian Vanderzam live in. When the lights come on it, I always say, oh, Bill and Lillian are home. and he approves. When I talked to him, I told him about it.
Oh,
he said
okay.
He'd enjoy living in a solar-powered windmill. We have a couple of listener questions today. One of them is more of a comment. Richard in Reno writes, Jim, I've always enjoyed your weekly chats with Bob Hoy for many years. Now, quote, up in a boom, down on a bust, such are the interest rates as Bob always reminds us.
Yeah. Right now, the T-bill rate reached its high a couple of months ago and has been declining. It's a downtrend. And, of course, with this, you got the chattering classes and the Federal Reserve and New York economists and stuff that all going on about how wonderful it will be when the Fed starts the rate cuts. Mm. Now, if you take a look at financial history over the last few hundred years, you'll find that the quote that Richard uses, rates go up in a boom, down in a bust. So rates going down is the worst thing you can have. And, of course, what happens is that the Fedsters intervene. Now, the real change in interest rates shows up in T-bills, and it's driven by market forces. Like a jillion transactions an instant around the world set the interest rates for short rates in the senior currency. The Federal Reserve has nothing to do with it but except to try and look in charge. So here it is. It's going to be in charge of lowering rates. The street thinks it's great because it's an intuitive thing. And if anybody ever just looks at 100 or 200 years of history, you'll realize that declining short rates is a disaster. And we've got a wonderful chart of the S&P against the T-bill rate, and in one part you take a look at it, and not only do short rates fall with the S&P, or the S&P falls with short rates, but the fastest drops in the S&P are coordinated with the fastest drops in the T-bill yield. So this is actually a cyclical craziness that comes into the market when they see that short rates are falling. So we list it as a disaster. Let the street celebrate it in its ignorance.
Our second question comes from Michael. A disturbing Zero Hedge headline. Armed LA residents patrol neighborhoods in violation of evacuation orders. It seems that people are realizing their investments in homes and personal possessions can be a risky bet, especially when unfortunate government policies fail to protect them from Mother Nature and looters. Bob, I'm confused. I thought this disaster would have shaken the U.S. financial markets, but it hasn't. Will this lack of trust spread to the credit markets when and if the current irrational exuberance peaks? Can the Fed fill the reservoirs and fire hydrants this time around with liquidity while fighting off the bond vigilantes at the same times? And will investors demand reforms?
Very well crafted, Michael. Yeah. I'd like to use the example of 1871 when in Chicago the Chicago fire is widely known, and that Mrs. O'Leary cow tipped over the lantern that caused the fire, though that is uncertain. But more also, if one looks into it, 1871 was exceptionally dry in that region, and the fires, Chicago was just one. The whole of the Wisconsin side of the Great Lakes was on fire. They call the Peshtigo fires. Thousands of people, lives lost, and whole cities and tracts and areas burned. So that was 1871, but the financial bubble was due to complete in 1873, and it did. But and looking back on it, I think the disaster wiped out a lot of wealth, but it didn't kill the financial markets because they were on their own schedule. So here you have then now Los Angeles with huge destruction of wealth, and but it doesn't time the market. The market had its high some months ago, and the hit in mid-December was the most severe since and on data back to 1974. So now that is a strong heads up and warning. And so what we're looking for now is, of course, with kind of a hit like that, you'd expect some relief out of it and things. But it looks like the market is heading for a serious decline in most stock sectors. And then they will, but with the case of the insurance losses and other property losses in Los Angeles, that is kind of sucked out of the market, and it will be part of the vacuum on the way down, as it was with the Chicago and Peshtigo fires in 1871. So it's bad news out there in these two subjects.
Now, of course, some people are saying this will dramatically boost insurance rates, but a lot of those people didn't have fire insurance because they couldn't get it already because they were in a high fire zone.
It's a disaster. It really is.
Now, Bob, my suggestion is, because we know these Santa Ana winds can hit that area, why not make it a law that you have to have a tower with a 1,000-gallon water tank on your property if you're going to rebuild, so that if there is a fire, gravity can put that water on your house. You don't need power.
I
think they should make that part of the fire code.
I saw a guy with an interview that he set up a water. He had water source, and he set up sprinklers on his ceiling. He by law, he had to evacuate. He did, and he came back, and his place was okay.
We did the same thing during a forest fire that missed our farm by 100 meters. Mm-hmm. My dad put 3 sprinklers up on the roof, powered by a Honda generator, and got the hell out of there. So our place was okay.
Mm-hmm.
That fire started, by the way, by a broken beer bottle. The bottom of the bottle acted like a magnifying lens, and that's what sparked the fire. And they know that's exactly where it started because it went from a V from that exact point.
Yeah.
So broken beer bottles, irresponsible drinkers.
Oh, that's fascinating.
Yes.
Yeah. Deadly, but fascinating. So,
We'll have more with Bob Hoy right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap,
with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Bob Hoy. Some of the headlines that caught your eye today. From Bloomberg on from January 13th, Treasury's sell-off ripples through world markets.
Oh, yeah. Yep, it is a world market. Each of the important countries have central bankers, and each believe that they uniquely have the ability to set interest rates. It's Mother Nature at work. Market forces that are huge compared to a mere central bank.
From Bloomberg, surging bond yields make a strong case for fiscal sanity.
Oh, yeah, no, I kind of like that one, that maybe rising rates will make the government people more practical. No, I think it's all too late. They've been doing their boom things, and the bust will come in, and then they will do things to protect themselves from the contraction.
Does that mean bonds would fall rapidly?
Oh, you get complexity in the interest rate market following a great bubble. Of course, short rates go down. That we're heading towards zero again on the T-bill rate and on the Fed funds rate. But other rates go up, like you get quality credit risk. So all high yield and junk bonds go up as the price goes down. And many junk bonds will just go no bid, and many will default. And then behind that, you got many investment grade bonds that'll be go into default. So, a post bubble contraction in the fixed income sector can be devastating for parts of it. Now, here's the other one you get is that you take real interest rates are when you take and adjust the nominal rate by the rate of inflation. That gives you the real. And the pattern resolutely has been is that real long rates go down with the bubble, and they have on ours, and then they go up, and they're up a couple of percentage points now. But historically, in the full deflation following a bubble, the real rate can go up by 10 percentage points, which is the so interest rates get very complex and very dangerous following a bubble.
A headline that caught my eye: China claims it had 5% growth over the past year. Do you think that number is real? Because what we're hearing from outside of China, it's not.
I don't know. It could be fanciful reporting. Anyways, whatever. It's not going to last long.
Right, because they still have trouble in their real estate market that was driving that growth.
Yeah.
In fact, one of the headlines from Bloomberg, China developer that led the way on debt overhaul at risk again.
Yeah.
Are the Chinese just fed up with the government telling them, pour your money into real estate, it'll always work out?
Oh, I imagine there's all kinds of different opinions there.
And we're also finding out from secret sources that mass casualty events are happening in China. Upset investors are holding groups hostage. Sometimes there's mass knife attacks and so on. But, of course, the Chinese media being censored can't tell you about it.
Yeah, well, I don't know anything about those, so... Yeah.
Well, of course, it's censored, Bob. We're not supposed to know.
Right, okay.
Headline, U.S. metals and oil roiled as traders weigh risk of tariffs.
Yeah, that's a fear that's gone through the market. The metal prices and oil have been choppy price, and the headline writer needed something, and so he blamed it on the concept of increasing tariffs. It's just a headline.
BlackRock assets hit record $11.6 billion in fourth quarter.
Oh, I made a typo error there, and I'll admit to it. That should be $11.6 trillion.
$1 trillion.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Real
yeah.
Real money
that,
here.
Yeah. That real money. Like 11, anybody would be happy with an extra $11 billion. I guess unless you're Elon Musk, then that sounds piddling. But $11.6 trillion. What do they do so well, Bob?
Oh, I don't know. They assemble assets. That's all BlackRock does.
Oh, wow. Rising borrowing costs spatter UK government and threaten to derail its left-leaning program.
Yeah, now that's an important one. And there was maybe three or four years ago, Boris Johnson, who is sort of conservative, and there was an election, and he got a landslide of voters from the Midlands, which typically vote Labour. I mean, these are working class people, and they voted for the Conservatives. And somehow I think the Conservatives, yeah, they had a different leader after Boris Johnson and the current Conservative leader.
And they went through 20 leaders in 8 minutes.
Boris Johnson, anyways, UK politics are screwed up too.
The $2 trillion home insurance nightmare is getting even worse. Yes, well, again, all those fires in L.A., and there's another headline that goes along with it. The economic toll of L.A. fires goes far beyond destroyed homes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was, as I said, the last such example was the 1871 Chicago fire and the Peshtigo fires up the Wisconsin through that region. It was a hellhole.
Now imagine in L.A., over 10,000 structures destroyed. They're going to need some lumber to repair all that, but they want to put 25% tariffs on Canadian products. Is that going to hold back the redevelopment of Pacific Palisades and other affected areas?
I don't think so at all. When you need product, you pay for product and you get product. And also, is Trump trying to get the Canadian government to stop sending, to tighten up on border things and stop sending bad people into the States? So it's not to kill the Canadian economy. It is to smarten up Canadian politicians.
Good luck there. That's smarten up Canadian politicians. The biggest scandal happening here in the greater Vancouver area is finding out how local mayors who already are paid as much as the premier are kiting their salaries by paying themselves huge stipends for sitting on various committees and boards. And if a committee meeting goes an hour over its scheduled time, they get a $1,000 bonus for it, essentially paying themselves $1,000 an hour.
It's all part of the scam where the political leaders are trying to get as much out of it as they can. I would be relieved to wrap this up, Jim.
Well, wish we could wrap them up and ship them someplace warm like L.A. right now. Bob, thank you so much for chatting with us.
Jim, thanks. Good to be together, and let's look forward to next week.
My guest has been market historian Bob Hoy, the chief investment strategist for chartsandmarkets.com. If you have any questions for Bob, you can send them to info@howstreet.com. Our YouTube channel is Talk Digital Network. Find us on X at How Street. We're also on Facebook. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on HowStreet.com radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com, HowStreet.com radio is a production of HowStreet Media Incorporated.